Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu signaling a new escalation in the war against Hamas in Gaza, ordering civilians to evacuate the southern city of Rafah, where more than a million Palestinians were told to flee for safety. UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric.
The Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs say the unprecedented density of Rafah's population make it nearly impossible to protect civilians.
President Biden on the defensive after a special counsel report on his handling of classified documents raised concerns about his age and mental capacity. ABC's Selena Wang.
Sources tell us that the president is fuming over the special counsel's report, and the White House is now in damage control mode. They know that the president is legally cleared, but any political damage could last longer.
A Russian-Ukrainian prisoner swap. 100 prisoners of the war from each side exchanged in a deal brokered by the United Arab Emirates. This is ABC News. The standoff against Prince Harry and Piers Morgan continues after a UK judge awarded Harry a substantial settlement Friday in a lawsuit against a publication formerly headed by Morgan, further fueling the public fire between the two. ABC's Innes de la Cotera is outside Buckingham Palace with more.
The prince using his win to take a swipe at the paper's former editor, Piers Morgan, issuing a statement saying Morgan knew perfectly well what was going on and should be investigated. The pair have dueled in the past. When the judge ruled in Harry's favor last December, Morgan responded, saying Prince Harry wouldn't know truth if it slapped him in his California tanned face, and he claimed he and his wife were trying to destroy the British monarchy.
Today kicks off the 15-day festival celebrating the Lunar New Year. Here's the way it sounded in Beijing. Many Asian cultures use this as a time for feasting and to honor household and heavenly deities as well as ancestors. 2024, the Year of the Dragon. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected, and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
The Todd Almost Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's tax season again. Qualifying seniors in Wisconsin who'd like some help filing their returns are getting help for free. Mike Moan reports.
Many Wisconsinites have received their income documents for filing taxes. AARP has its tax aid sites open around the state. The organization says 650 volunteers completed more than 23,000 returns for Wisconsin residents last year. AARP's Darren Wisniewski says the program can help people with limited resources avoid overpaying or turning to tax prep services they can't afford. He says the no-cost assistance might make a refund stretch a little further.
Even a modest refund for somebody who's, you know, living on Social Security can go a long way to helping alleviate some of the financial stress that they might be under.
The volunteers are trained and IRS certified to ensure they're caught up on the latest changes to the tax code. A list of Wisconsin sites or ways to receive help online is available through the AARP website. Wisniewski says the virtual help carried out by volunteers is pretty expansive.
They've also been able to knock it down to one visit scan so that you just come once, give your documents, and then complete everything electronically online after that, going right over to just providing online coaching.
As for in-person help, AARP's website lists 120 tax prep sites for Wisconsin this year. Most of them are senior and community centers as well as public libraries. The organization says you don't have to be a member to receive the assistance. This is Mike Moan for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I'm joined by OnMilwaukee.com's entertainment reporter Matt Miller and Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson. Join me from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Madison weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming sunny this afternoon, we'll see a high near 38, northwest breeze at about 10 to 15. For tonight, partly cloudy, mid-20s. Becoming sunny on your Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, sunshine, 43, partly sunny and 40 on your Tuesday. That's weather on WMDX.
It's 30 at our studios.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What up, y'all? It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. I got my girl, Keena, in the house as my co-host. She's just going to be my co-host moving forward. We're just going to call it Black Conversion Show with Brandi and Keena.
Hey, okay? I like that.
Period. So that's what it is. Thank you for tuning in today. It is Thursday. It's raining out. There's tornadoes in Wisconsin in February. There's some different stuff happening around here. We had hail. There's two confirmed tornadoes. I don't know the cities. Nate just told me, and I'm just saying it because I want to sound like I prepared to tell you about some news or something, and I did not. Okay, but it's okay. We're here to celebrate February, and February is the, what?
Black History.
And it don't get no blacker than this. Okay. Me and her, we black yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So today our show is going to be about Black history and stuff in Black news, random thoughts, random everything, because I didn't prepare and I'm super tired today. I want to give a shout out. I want to start my today in Black history by shouting out Urban Triage staff. Our staff has been going through a lot of, in Urban Triage, for folks who are listening that you're like, what is Urban Triage? Urban Triage is a nonprofit organization which I founded in 2015. I'm the CEO of this organization. We do a lot of work with homelessness, youth work, housing advocacy, all kind of stuff. I want to give them a shout out because we've been in a huge transition from the end of 2023. We ended our contract with Dane County core program rental assistance. I think we distributed over $20 million to Dane County residents, and it has ended, which means that we had to shift, and there's a lot of training and just readjustments and repositioning staff have to make. And I just want to thank them for being in the work and sticking it through, because a lot of people don't make it through transitions. And in Black history, at a Black-led organization where 90% of the folks is Black and it's all Black women led, I think that's an accomplishment mm-hmm. in itself. Mm-hmm. And I also just want to just acknowledge sometimes we don't think about what we've accomplished in Black history as folks who are doing business like you. You run multiple organizations. You do a lot of work in our community, Keena. And I just want to start with acknowledging us, because who better to acknowledge us but us? So I'm going to give the flow to you so you can acknowledge you. Okay, for Black history, God darn it.
Well, then what Rougie Wellness does, Rougie Wellness is a wellness wellness company that I founded back in 2018. And I like to tell people that I started Rougie Wellness in 2018 because, you know, Savage came out in 2020 by Beyonce and Meg.
Right.
And so they said Savage, Classy, Bougie, Ratchet.
Right.
But Rougie was before that. So, you know, like, I just want to make that known. Rougie stands for Ratchet, Bougie. It's the and. It's the not being put into a box, as we are complex, multifaceted, not meant to be tamed or contained in any type of way, minimized or categorized in any way that limits or stifles or combines or inhibits or oppresses us.
Yes.
And so, you know, I do have the belief, I have the firm belief that when Black people, specifically Black women, when we win, everybody wins.
It's by law.
Yes.
You can't help but to win when we win.
When we win, everybody wins.
Yes.
You know, so we take care of us, everybody will be taken care of.
I love it. So just shout out to you and what you've accomplished. And that's just a tip of the iceberg of what you've accomplished. And also a tip of an iceberg for what Urban Triage accomplished. So again, the work keeps working. And I just want to shout out everyone and shout out to my board members who also make everything possible. And I want to shout out one particular board member today, Dana Pelleban. If you don't know who she is, you better get to know her. She sits on the board for Urban Triage. She does amazing work. And let's just say her contribution to our organization cannot be articulated with words. The woman's pretty dope, okay? She's came in and she whipped us all into shape. So I've just, if you guys don't know, Dana announced her run for Dane County County Executive yesterday. And she's a Black woman. And it's my expectation that in the history of, you know, doing the work, that y'all gonna be out here voting for Dana, because she is not only... not just because she's Black, but you should vote for her because she's Black. But there's also a Black man running, but you need to choose the Black woman, okay? I'm a little biased, okay? So shout out to you, Wes, but we're going to ride behind Dana. And the reason I'm choosing Dana to endorse, ride with, donate, go knock on doors with, is because she not only has the commitment to our community, she has the history of committing to our community. I don't know, you guys probably should look up what county execs are in charge of, right? They're like the executive of our county, which means they have to manage things, manage budgets, manage people, manage, you know, they're part of the sheriff, you know, Dane County Sheriff that comes out of the department, Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services. And what better person to run, manage, encourage change, innovate, and do the work but a Black woman who's been in the work. So she's been in housing. She sits on our Dane County Board of Supervisors. She's currently the ED at Rape Crisis Center. She's been EDs of other nonprofit organizations. Every organization she's worked for, she's transformed. So I'm going to shout out to you, Dana, for making history in February of 2024. I don't know, but I'm just going to go on.
Congratulations out. In advance.
Yeah, in advance. And just acknowledge that I don't remember any other Black women running for this. Unless I missed it, I forgot to Google it, but I'm just going to say she's setting a precedence, right? So y'all get out there, y'all support her, and don't get caught up in the hype. This is such an important position in our government. I would say it's even more powerful than our mayor, and not because the mayor is, you know, isn't powerful, you know, in her own right, she is. However, we're not talking about just the city of Madison. We're talking about Verona. We're talking about Sun Prairie. We're talking about DeForest. We're talking about Middleton, all these cities that's under Dane County, right? And we're also talking about Child Protective Services and Department of Human Services, which is one of the most racist entrenched systems that Dane County can, I don't know, along with the criminal, not the most, it's one of the most, because every single system I've come in contact with, whether it's Dane County Human Services, Child Protective Services, criminal justice system, welfare system, ABERC system, jobs, and they all racist, okay? But we still do work there. And the way that we challenge some of the systemic stuff that's occurring inside these systems is by putting people in positions that's not just right or left, but someone who knows how to maneuver, navigate, and collaborate across institutions, government, agencies, right? And I think she has that. And that's what I'm so excited about, because it's not just her Blackness, but her ability to collaborate and build relationships and networks. And that's what it's about. You know, a lot of times in the work, I always wanted to be Black this and Black that, and I'm still Black this and Black that. And you have to be able to reach over, build relationship and collaboration. So shout out to you, Dana. And oh, can we also mention, I'm really riding her hard, Dana, because that's my girl. But okay, so I'm also going to mention that she's also does like art, right? So if you know any, have you seen any plays that's, I don't even know all her plays, but she directs, produces, and acts. So she's really a huge part of our art community in Madison, which is super, super important, making history. Because how many Black folks in Madison, you know, that's part of our, I know T. Banks, they do art and theater. And I know Dana. I don't know any other Black folks in theater. Do you?
I was in theater.
You were? I'm talking about right now.
Right now.
Producing.
Not like, I'm trying to think.
Or things like that.
Let me think, because I need to give their credit. Okay, The Classroom Ain't Enough. Have you heard of that?
No.
The Classroom Ain't Enough is amazing. And that's produced here.
By who?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, we got to Google, but we still talking about Black history locally. Yeah. And our folks listening on live on Facebook, if you know some Black history, local Black history, drop it in there, because we don't know what we know, don't know until we know. Amen?
That's right. It's produced, it's at the Broome Street Theater.
Mm. So repping just Broome Street Theater. Okay, she's gonna look all that up. So until then, let's take a moment in Black History. Today is February what? What's today? February 8th. Thank God they got the time and date right there, because okay. I was like, I don't even know what day is. But today, guess who was born? W.E.D. Du Bois. And if you don't know who W.D. E. Bois, I think he was born in 1909. So we're just going to represent him. Black man who founded the NAACP. Our NAACP ain't what it used to be, right? Now we have local chapters across the country. Most of them ran by white people. Not that white people can't support Black initiatives and Black causes, but I'm going to tell you this, they darn sure shouldn't be running an organization called the Negro Association. Okay.
Proudly running it.
Because if you look at Madison of NAACP, their whole board is white. I mean, white out like the white when the snow white. Okay.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the whole board. So shout out to W.E.D. Bois, who was also not only the founder of NAACP, he also is a prolific writer and author. He wrote a lot about, an historian, wrote a lot about, you know, discrimination, what was going on. So y'all should look him up. He took some controversial stands on some things in the Black Reconstruction in America that he wrote. Some Black people didn't agree with him, but we're going to honor him today in the history, in Black History Month. And who's the writer of the play?
Charles Payne.
Charles Payne. Shout out to you in Black History.
And writer, poet, performer.
Amen.
Yes.
Perfect. And he's local. So if y'all know any other Black folks, we want to give shout outs to them. So what else can we talk about today in Black History? We have like 1 minute before we have to take a break, a quick break.
Okay. So something else to talk about in Black History.
Yeah,
we can talk about
in Black History.
We could talk about like some of the, have you heard of that book where I think it's called My Black Year?
No.
So she came and did the commencement speech at my son's high school graduation. Uh-huh. And basically she challenged herself to only buy Black for that whole year. Mm. Like no matter what, any of her dollars had to be spent and circulated in the Black community.
Did that work?
It did. And she learned a lot. And then in the experiment, she also learned about certain gaps that was in the system because, you know, like I know somebody was talking to me yesterday.
Wasn't Killer Mike just talking about that too on his Netflix?
I don't know.
Series?
I mean, I didn't watch it, so that's why I don't know, but
me
maybe.
Either. I didn't
watch Dang, it. We're going to have to watch that. Okay.
But we did hear about it. So, okay, that's dope. And also, let's just recognize today in Black history, the formation of the United Nations, which is Black Americans, including W.E. Du Bois and Ralph Bouchet and Walter White. They organized the first Black Nation conference and summit, and just bringing Black people together across the country. And that was pretty dope. So we're just going to honor them today in Black history. And I also want to honor just all the Black people out here doing the work in the community that goes unseen and unheard today. Because oftentimes we recognize when we're talking about Black history, the folks who have the accomplishments that are big in our front. But there's so many accomplishments and things we do in the background that enable others to take off. Everything we do and accomplish, even myself, I'm standing on the shoulders of my ancestors. Mm-hmm. So to all my Black people today, keep doing you, keep pushing, keep claiming your goal and your trajectory. You are Black history in the making. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Again, you're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandy and Kina. Okay, hey. We'll be back in a sec. Like the winds that crash in the ocean.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
I came home early and found my husband swiping left. It's true. He was looking for something new. So I decided to confront him.
I'm looking at movetomadison.com.
Well, at least you're keeping it local.
It's the Aaron Weber Group. You said you wanted a home. They can get us the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes, virtual or in-person meetings. Happy Valentine's Day?
The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. MoveToMedicine.com. Swipe and find your true love home today.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Are back on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Convergence Show with my co-host Dina. We are in a house. This is February. You know, February. And why we couldn't have an easier month like July or June? February. I could barely make an R, like pronunciation of most words ended in R. So, but this is the month of February. Say February. How you say it?
I say February. I skip February. That R.
February.
I go right to February.
Nate, how you say February?
February.
He
skips February. The R just like me. I skip February. The R. I cancel February. The R.
Okay, well, February.
I think it's February, like what you're saying.
February, okay.
But I don't. You know how I had to be taught to put the R in library?
Oh,
because
okay.
I used to skip the R in that, too.
Library. Okay, anyway, I got distracted. It's Black History Month, okay, y'all? So today we in the studio. We just talking about things in Black news and giving congratulations to folks in Black history. But something that came up on our radar in Black news is the 200 bodies that were found in Mississippi in unmarked graves at the Hinds County Cemetery behind a prison. And I don't know if y'all, oh my goodness, I feel like I need to sneeze. Oh, this sucks. Okay, but I don't know what y'all thinking, but when you find 200 bodies in Mississippi, I'm assuming those are bodies that were, what? Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you
executed at the hands of the law.
You sure it was the law? Oh, well, I guess if it's behind a prison, all the
because the police would have to know about it.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
Order to conceal it.
But what do you think? So, like, so we all scratching our heads in disbelief. What do you think is going to happen?
To give more context, they said that this was not only were these bodies in unmarked graves, they were not even buried deep enough. And they were not even embalmed. They were not in they were like in a plastic bag, okay? To the point where the smell was coming up. Somebody was complaining about the smell. And so then when people came to investigate the smell, this is how the public found out about it. But in the story that I was looking at yesterday, there was a mom who had been looking for her son.
Oh my God.
And she called him in missing. The police said, we don't know. They gaslit and took her around the corner and all the way around the block, telling her that they didn't know what was going on, But the whole time,
that baby was
police
dead.
Officers hit him with the car. the day that she reported him missing. So they already knew what his whereabouts were. And then they buried him.
Oh, my God.
8 months later, she found out where he was at and about this. And the graves were, some were not even marked.
That is
nuts. And the ones that was marked only had a metal post with the number on it. And all these bodies, these 200-something bodies, nobody knew about. And you know what Mississippi, the statistics of Mississippi, the biggest Black population and the most racist.
Yep.
In the country.
Yeah, I think everyone should leave Mississippi. No, not much different from Wisconsin, you know what I'm saying? I think they got more Black people there, so disproportionately they murder and kill more Black people. And it also reminds me of the Monona police, right? Like how we always have these incidents in Monona, which is 5 minutes away from us, where Black people are coming up dead, falling, running from them, being in the lake, or coming up missing, and no one knows where they're at, right? And remember that Black dude, I cannot remember his name. Oh my God, please forgive me to the listeners. I cannot remember his name, but just like last year, I think it was, he came up missing, and then they just found his body recently in an abandoned building.
What?
Right. And he was running from them in Monona, and he disappeared. And they were like, oh, we don't know what happened to him. And then his body just turns up in some building. So this is a perfect example, too, of like how we like to hold civilians accountable for, you know, breaking the law. But there is no law to govern the law, per se. Right. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be consequences for this prison or the folks that, you know, killed all these folks, and whether they were innocent or not, they didn't deserve to die. Right. Innocence or not innocence doesn't, you know, get you a death sentence. So that's just screwed up. Also in the news, we have this black family. So positively speaking, the event wasn't positive, but it was a positive outcome because as we're saying and speaking, there's often no consequences for the systems and people who represent the system. So, in positive news, there was a $1.9 million settlement to a woman and her family in Colorado. I think it was Aurora, Colorado. $1.9 million. They pulled her over with her children in the car and surrounded the car, pulled out guns with her and her children, and said they thought the vehicle was stolen.
That happened to me before.
Girl, that happened to me too. What happened?
I was pregnant with Caleb.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And they had me at gunpoint right over on East Wash by East High School.
And what was their reason?
They said the car matched the description.
It's always the car matches the description, isn't it?
And I had nothing but kids in the car with me.
That's crazy.
And my friend. But I had three children in the back in the car, and I'm pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant. Mm. And they held the guns up to me, and all they said was, I don't even know if they actually said they were sorry.
No.
They just said, you can go now.
You can go now, right. Like, in such an inhumane experience. And the thing that cracks me up is, when I talk to white people, they don't have those kind of experiences with cops. And they don't have the kind of experiences with cops because they actually see them as other human beings, right? So I had a very similar experience, except for I got pulled over in Park Street, and I had to be like, 20. I was young, like 21, 22. I was in my, I was so excited. I had the little silver Ford Explorer, and I was like, ooh, I got a Ford Explorer. Coming down Badger Road, about to turn the left on Park Street, and all of a sudden, about 10 or 15 police officers swerved my car and, you know, all approached my car with guns drawn, and I literally peed on myself. Literally. Like, what? But this is also before I understood what racism was. And it was also before I understood, like, this was a racist act, you know, because even just because people are black don't mean they have the education or analysis about how systems treat you.
Right.
Because I've talked to black people who've been raised around white folks or majority white people. And I say to them, you have been treated in racist ways. And they're like, no, I haven't. And then you help them build analysis and they go back in hindsight. It's like, oh, my God. Even my foster parent was racist.
Yeah, they
are and was. But this is a normal experience. Nate, have you ever been pulled over with guns drawn at you?
I have not, no.
And ain't it weird? Like, I never knew that about you. We bring it up and I say that happened to me. That's the probability of two people sitting in a room and having guns pulled out. I bet you that, I'm not even going to quantify it, but I bet you it increases 1,000-fold when there's black people in the room. So the system is obviously, as we know, something's wrong with it. But also, you know, recently in the news was the two babies that died in some prairie, right? And we know that police stood around and watched them babies die. And if those babies were a white baby or a dog, for that matter, a Labrador, a Great Dame, they would have got that dog out that water. And it's just a telltale sign of how, again, how systems work. So today, you know, you're listening to Brandy and Kina on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. And sadly, sometimes our black history looks like the history of white people killing, murdering, just prosecuting black people. And it's sad that we even have to, that's even a thing. And I even brought that up, but bringing up the Mississippi and the 200 bodies, I couldn't help but to connect the dots in that. So, but when we get back, what I also want to talk about is black people in the Grammys. Okay. Why did Jay-Z snap like that? Why did he call them out like that? Now that was entertaining. And in Black History Month, that was perfect timing.
Yeah.
Perfect timing. I just, you know, I don't care what people say about Jay-Z. You know, he is capitalistic. But if I had $1 billion, I'd probably be capitalistic too. Matter of fact, I don't even have $1 billion. My bank account looks like 3,000 and I'm capitalistic, okay? But we're going to talk about Jay-Z when we come back and Killer Mike, who was arrested at the Grammys. What a freaking week for black people in black history, okay? So again, you're listening to Brandy and Kina on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu signaling a new escalation in the war against Hamas in Gaza ordering civilians to evacuate the southern city of Rafah, where more than a million Palestinians were told to flee for safety. UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric.
The Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs say the unprecedented density of Rafah's population make it nearly impossible to protect civilians.
President Biden on the defensive after a special counsel report on his handling of classified documents raised concerns about his age and mental capacity. ABC's Selena Wang.
Sources tell us that the president is fuming over the special counsel's report, and the White House is now in damage control mode. They know that the president is legally cleared, but any political damage could last longer.
A Russian-Ukrainian prisoner swap. 100 prisoners of the war from each side exchanged in a deal brokered by the United Arab Emirates. This is ABC News.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at Super Bowl 58. In the NBA, the Bucks beat the Hornets 120-84. The Bucks' new guard, Patrick Beverley, entered the game at the end of the first quarter to a standing ovation. Beverley on what the past 24 hours like after being traded to Milwaukee from Philadelphia.
Man, it's been, you know, NBA world. Obviously, as a player, everything happens so fast, obviously. You know, my time with the Sixers was great. And I was playing some of my best basketball I think I've ever played. Yeah, I didn't see this coming.
NFL Jordan Love here in Vegas conducting interviews. I asked him how the Packers went from 2-5 to making the playoffs last year.
You know, it was a tough stretch we had. You know, we went on a 4-game losing streak, but you know, it's really a credit to the whole team, man. Everybody stuck together. No one pointed fingers. You know, everyone found ways to improve their game, and you know, that's kind of what I did too. Just found ways to settle in a little bit more, focus on what I need to focus on, and control what I control.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. From Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Madison weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming sunny this afternoon, we'll see a high near 38. Northwest breeze at about 10 to 15. For tonight, partly cloudy, mid-20s. Becoming sunny on your Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, sunshine, 43. Partly sunny and 40 on your Tuesday. That's weather on WMDX.
Right now, it's 32.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
The Max Inc. Matinee Showcase is back Sunday, February 18th at the High Noon Saloon in Madison, featuring the German art students, The Apologist, and L. Donk. Doors open at noon, the show starts at 1, and you're home in time for supper. The Max Inc. Matinee Showcase. Advance tickets on sale now at high-noon.com. Presented by Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and Civic Media. Hometown Radio Refresh.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are back with me, your girl, Inkina, on Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. It is Black History Month.
Hey.
I just don't know if y'all know that, but we celebrated Black History. Making Black History everywhere we go. Just by being present, interacting, we are making Black History. Black History looks like being able to talk on a FM station about blackness and white supremacy and not getting, I don't know, tell to shut up
or say why can't we talk about white history.
Yeah, that is Black History, and I know some of our listeners will probably think that as they're listening to this, and they'll probably even say that to talk about white history would be racist, and you're absolutely right. Because to say, to even have to distinguish your history from other folks' history would make it racist. Because everything around you is your history, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to walk in the store, see you. You get to go to school and send your kids to school, and they're going to learn about people that look like them. They're going to learn from the perspective of whiteness, and they're going to learn how to be, how to be in their privilege. Whereas other folks, oftentimes, specifically the people I'm going to talk about is Black, oftentimes we have to figure out where we fit, how we fit, and how not to be, psychologically
tarnished
or bamboozled, psychologically
whitewashed.
And what we mean by that,
brainwashed,
right? And really brainwashed to hate ourselves. Because mm-hmm. what the thing that most white people don't understand is when you get to be in your environment that's about you, for you, and for your own good, it is empowering, right? And you ought to be empowered, but you should never be empowered, like in lieu of other people's empowerment, right? So I think that's why when you talk about Black white history or try to, it's like, dude, everything you read is about you. So mm-hmm. when we celebrate and other cultures celebrate their cultures, traditions, and their history, it should be celebrated too, right? So when Asian folks celebrate or brown people say, let's celebrate them too, because you too matter. And in the context of America, whether we want to recognize it or not, everything built around you was probably built on the back of my ancestors, including this building mm-hmm. where all the capitalistic, you know, racist, anti-Black, anti-brown bills, anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ bills pass right there down mm-hmm. State Street. So when I say in the building we sit on State Street right across from the Overture Center, don't come see me, though. No, okay? Don't come see me. All right? But we sit there. So when we looking down there, mm-hmm. that in itself is a symbol of Black history, because I can almost imagine who was building those walls inside, mm-hmm. those beautiful ceilings inside of the Capitol. I don't know his name, but I'm sure it was Uncle Juju in them.
Okay. Juju on the beat. And I want to make a call to action to anybody who's listening, who runs workshops or leads in spaces or holds any type of meetings or any type of space that gathers, that encourages people to gather. I want to call you to action and invite you and encourage you to, when you open up your meetings and you're holding spaces, that you make a labor acknowledgement. Because, you know, I know a lot of people are familiar with the land acknowledgement. I personally like to open up my workshops and speeches with the land and a labor acknowledgement, where we acknowledge the land that has been stolen, and we also acknowledge the labor that has been stolen, the sacrifices that were not asked to be sacrifices, that were imposed and forced, the sacrifices of talent and labor, all right, and lives, suffering, literally labor, all right? And we need to acknowledge that that's what the country was built on, and nobody got paid for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's a really good idea. I think I'm gonna start doing that too. The land acknowledgments often feel funny to me, because, and this might be just me being me, because it's like we acknowledge the land being stolen, but at the same time, we don't acknowledge the people, history, and nationality that's been stolen from mm-hmm. the land. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and even the anti-Blackness in that. We don't need to get an analysis, because every time I talk about it, people say I'm erasing other people's history. And I don't want to erase people's history. I want people to know that the people that look like me were here before we called slavery, mm-hmm. right? Before we took people across the Atlantic, supposedly, and enslaved them. The folks that were on this land were blue-black folks, right? Mm-hmm. Blue-black. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, because they were blue-black, don't make them black. Then what were they?
Right. Because everybody originated from
the woman. The woman.
The woman.
The human.
Okay. The dog.
the dog. See. Okay. And out of the darkness was light.
Okay. Say that.
Okay. We went to the left. Okay. Anyway, so today we want to acknowledge today in Black History. Let's acknowledge in 1894, today, February 8th, Congress repeals the Enforcement Act, which was making it easy for some states to disenfranchise Black voters. So let's celebrate that. They repealed it, which probably meant nothing at the time, because a lot of time laws are repealed, or like when folks were emancipated, right? Slavery ended. It actually didn't end. It just kind of kept going, which is also why people known as Black who are aware of the history don't celebrate July 4th. Mm-hmm. And Kina, you want to break it down why we might not celebrate July 4th?
Well, we don't celebrate July 4th in my household.
We don't either.
Okay. We don't celebrate the 4th of July because the 4th of July was not free. We don't celebrate the 4th of July. We don't do the I Pledge Allegiance to the Flag.
No, we don't do that.
Or the National Anthem.
And
because
why?
None of those celebrations apply to us. Our people, our ancestors were still enslaved in that time. And as a matter of fact, the slave masters or the people who, you know, had the power purposely withheld that information, mm-hmm. you know, as long as they could under the radar. So mm-hmm. July 4th, we were still being sold as property.
Yeah, so July 4th represents the emancipation of white people
from
Britain.
When this country, became independent.
Right.
But not when our people were free.
Right.
So, you know.
But what's up with Black people who like put on, you know what I'd be irritated with? Look, Black people. You know what I'm saying?
But our people.
I'm going to get, look.
Probably heavily fund our dollars fund the 4th of July the most.
Yes, it do, because we be so excited about 4th of July. Black folks be putting on the whole costume from head to toe. Their gear, they have the shoes on. They might even paint customized gym shoes, Jordans, a whole fit, a hat. So we're going to encourage you in 2024 as we expand our knowledge and awareness of self and our history to stop doing that, Black people. Okay, just stop
It is a participation in capitalism. Like, we literally fund all of these holidays and the celebrations. Our dollars fund it, and so because we pay for it, it creates the demand for it to continue on. If we don't pay to fund these things, and don't be saying nothing like, oh well, we just love these celebrations, like Thanksgiving. We be turning up on Thanksgiving.
Okay, wait, I do be turning up on Thanksgiving.
I know you said that was your favorite. But, like, listen.
Were you a hypocrite? Now, look.
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm saying that.
I just want people to be mindful and understand that our dollars creates the demand for these to keep going. We can literally create other things to celebrate.
And I think it's so hard, too, because I'm judging people for 4th of July, and I am judging you, by the way. But I'm also, with Thanksgiving, I've created this, like, this is just a family day, you know? And I think that's what people known as Black often do, is like, y'all tripping, you know? It's just
I want to change the day. I want it to be on a different day, though.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I don't like that Martin Luther King Day or whatever, Columbus Day was turned into something else.
What was it turned into?
Something like Indigenous something.
Indigenous People's Day.
Indigenous People's Day. I don't want the day.
Who celebrates that?
Dane County just passed a resolution last week.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't want it to be on that day.
We'd be doing some crazy stuff, but even when Juneteenth happens, right? Juneteenth, and white folks in our community get up by the Capitol and raise the Juneteenth flag. That ain't even the Juneteenth flag. The Juneteenth flag that they raise is a flag created by white people who said this is the Juneteenth flag. Now, why you ain't raising the RBG flag?
Right. Raise that.
Raise the RBG flag. So all my white folks and all my Black people, because this is why the Black bourgeoisies and elders hate me too, because I say things like this and they be like, we work very hard to get that flag up there. Well, just get the right one, okay?
Get the RBG.
RBG, Black History, 2024, I want to see the RBG flag, the red, black, and green. I want to see it flying over the Capitol. Y'all fly that LGBTQIA flag. Go out here and put the RBG. Right. I want equity, and I want it to represent, and I want people to ask the question, what does that stand for? Black stands for the color of our skin, red for the blood shed, and green for the earth and the land, right? That's what it stands for, and it's a flag that was created in our quest for pan-Africanism, connecting people worldwide, and the folks that's lost in the struggle, lost because enslavement, trafficking our bodies, and all of that stuff. That's the flag that should be raised.
Yes.
And I remember having a conversation with our sheriff, because he was part that. Of that. And I was because he also raised
when you
it
went
at
live
the,
about it.
What? Yeah. I was, what? Yeah. I was so mad. Y'all know I get that. Emotional. So happy.
I didn't know until you went live about it.
What?
Yeah.
When I saw that girl, and he was waving on top of the freaking jail.
Above the slaves.
And then, and I get his point. So this is the thing, y'all. As Black people for Black History, shout out to our Black sheriff, okay? Because that is my boy. I love you. You got my, I got mad
just
respect
do
for
it
you.
Different.
And
different.
I don't like it, right?
Do it different. Like, part of loving somebody is also being like, listen, now you could have did that different. Let's talk about this. That Let's is love.
Talk. And can we talk about in Blackness and Black matters and Black Dane County? Can we stop going along to get along just because it look good? Y'all just be want to take photos and pictures and be like, look what we've done. No. I need, okay, see, this is why. This is why I don't need no talk show. I'm about
no,
to go
it's
home.
Okay,
no, I'm about to go home because this is why I don't post on Facebook no more. Y'all think my opinion changed. It ain't changed. I practice shutting the heck up.
Look, me too. High five, Brandy.
I practice shutting the heck up. But okay, y'all got me fired up because it's Black History. So I'm going to give myself a pass today and probably the rest of February. Then I'm going to go back and shut up. But out. Just shout out to my people who stand in front of that jail raising that Juneteenth flag. Stop it. You know what jail represents for us? Enslavement.
Slavery.
Right? Inhumane treatment of our people. And I don't care if our sheriff changed the name from inmate to resident. It still is a cage. And it's inhumane. And these people treat our people like crap. You know how many calls I get with people being beat in our county jail? I'm hurt. Not given the medicines they need and assistance. People have mental wellness issues. You know what we do in Dane County and throughout the United States? We lock them up in a cage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we wave a flag. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some kind of...
That was the workaround. Once it was illegal to enslave our people,
The
slave catchers became the police.
Oh, girl, right. And then when we want to talk about it, Then y'all like, you just being, we got to have Black people inside systems and we got to have representation. Yes, we do. And you know what also we need? We need people known as Black and our white comrades and co-conspirators that have an appropriate analysis. Because y'all, I'm talking too much. I'm getting too emotional around here. I find that even with me, founder of Urban Triage, we run millions of dollars through our organization, allocating millions of dollars to our community, employing probably the most Black people in the nonprofit area in Dane County. I'm a shout out to Urban
Say
Triage
that.
Again, making history.
Say that again.
And y'all don't even acknowledge that.
But employing Black people.
Employing us and employing us in safe environments where people feel safe. And not only that, they grow, right? Because we serve the people, we employ the people we serve. But before I go too left, my point is that it's having representation isn't enough. We need people who actually have analysis, because it appears to me in the years that I've been doing this work for Urban Triage, that people who have caused the most harm to other Black people and to our organization as we try and attempt to do the work are Black people who don't have analysis, and they get a little power and they become gatekeepers and they harm people that we're serving because they're trying to harm us by holding power or being like, I'm powerful and you have to listen to me. And I have contract holders that switch from being white to brown or Black, and y'all just be tripping. Like, my white people be sometimes more like just cool. Like, they help us with things, they talk through things, and then some of us get power and we be trying to go left because we don't have analysis. And you in those systems where systems try to make you prove your loyalty to the system, and who gets the backlash? The Black people y'all work with. But I ain't gonna talk about that.
And I think that a lot of that comes from the disconnect that happens when people rise higher up. I feel like they get more disconnected from the community that they're serving. I sincerely think that that is where a lot of that comes from.
Oh, you might. That's, yeah, you're right. Because I have people say to me, like, I always feel like people that are supposed to be serving us become unreachable, right? If I hit them on Facebook or I see them in the street, they, like, get attitude. And I can name a couple of y'all Black people who be standing in these pictures acting sideways. But I don't do that no more because I'm going to focus on the work. But some of y'all really need to go to Jesus. I don't care if you go to white Jesus, brown Jesus, the Asian Jesus. You need to take yourself to Jesus, because the way y'all out here acting over a little bit of power is insane to me. So anyway, in Black History, Brandy done spoke out. I try not to talk about things like that. So mark this day on February 8th where Brandy said, okay, today we just gonna let it slide and I'm gonna talk about y'all. But out of respect and love for the people who are offended, y'all know I love y'all and I'm still gonna smile at y'all face. And y'all get mad, just tell me, like, you hurt my feelings and we can work through it. Okay, amen. So again, you listen to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We'll be back in a jiff. But you have to understand,
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, y'all, you back listening to your girl, Brandy and Keena, on the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM. I kind of went left there. Keena said I went... Hi, I might have went.
Might have went somewhere. Okay.
But I came back.
She went into the depths of her soul, okay?
I did. I got triggered. I was like, wait a minute. And they flew the flag. I think it was the flag.
The flag. It was something.
That flag took me back 2 years.
I remember that day. I was, my mouth was open. My mouth dropped when I watched that live, okay?
And then all, the Black people who stood around it and clapping, I was like, this is the sunken place. Why are we so sunken? Can we please get out? Somebody hit the teacup.
That's what she said. Get out.
Somebody hit the damn teacup.
I was like, I need to get out. I'm about to go down to Park Street, but I need to get out of Wisconsin.
Right now, okay? So anyway, back, we're coming back. We back, okay. In Black history, we want to recognize today Jay-Z.
Jay-Z Basquiat.
Basquiat. So Jay-Z won a Grammy. He won, he was accepting his Grammy for the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. And congratulations to you, Jay-Z, for making it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that Impact Award is, but that's kind of dope that they got a Grammy named after Dr. Dre. And if you don't know who Dr. Dre is, you better know who he is. I mean, and let's just acknowledge Dr. Dre was a great producer, rap artist, entertainer, but he sucked as a man. He really was abusive, like a lot of people are. Like, you can suck, you can be sucky in one area of your life and great in the other, right?
That's right.
Right, because like
complex.
Complex, right? Just complex. So we're going to honor Dr. Dre for that piece, but not for his abusiveness, okay, Dr. Dre? But anyway, back to Jay-Z. So in the Grammys, what did Jay-Z say? Can we play that clip by Jay-Z? What did he say again? Because I don't know. Let Nate play. I don't know if Facebook, if y'all can hear it, but maybe you can because I got my my headphones flipped. But let's take a look and listen.
Subjective because, you know, it's music and it's opinion-based. But, you know, some things, you know, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than everyone and never won Album of the Year.
Ooh.
So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work.
He said, even by your own metrics, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And he was basically taken up for his wife, as he should. Mm-hmm. Beyonce Bae, you know, loved by most Black women and gay men across the globe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And white women, too. We all love Bae. Okay.
Yes.
Do we not? So
the queen.
The queen. And she is so dope. So anyway, I got to the left again. So in Black history, we're going to represent Bae and also acknowledge Jay-Z for standing up for his wife. And he basically like, look, she done run more Grammys than anybody in this room, as she should. Mm-hmm. And she has yet to win Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. Do we know who won Album of the Year for 2024? I know Killer Mike won Album of the Year for rap artist or rap.
Best rap song, best rap performance, and best rap album.
Oh, that's right. Killer Mike won 3 Grammys. And that was historical because who would knew?
Oh,
right?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, why wouldn't Taylor Swift? People love. Why do they love this white lady so much?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Have
like,
you listened to her album?
She has a couple. I haven't listened to this.
Is she like Madonna
she
quality?
She got a few songs I like off some of her old songs.
Huh.
But I have not even listened to this album. Haven't listened to the Eras Tour set list. I just haven't. I don't have any beef with Taylor, but I just don't think that I don't think that that was the right call to name her the winner.
Yeah. Wait, who was in a category? It was Taylor Swift, Beyonce. Who else?
Let me see here. I'm trying to look here. So this one, Album of the Year, Beyonce wasn't even on.
Oh, she wasn't even nominated. Oh, that's crazy.
And if I recall reading something, I think that they said they didn't even bother nominating her because of some, there was some, I don't know, I read something about that.
They just mad because she be high.
So the only black, two people that was on the list for Album of the Year was SZA for SOS.
Oh, I love SZA.
And The Age of Pleasure by Janelle Monáe.
Oh, did they win an award? Did SZA win?
Did SZA win any awards?
I don't know, but while you looked that
Victoria
up.
Victoria Monáe won that one award.
Oh, I love Victoria Monáe. If y'all don't know.
SZA won Snooze for Best R&B Song.
Oh. Okay, sister, we see you, but who cares? Because these like white folks' opinion that's about our music. But that
but
is
she
my
won
song.
Over Victoria Monáe and Coco Jones.
That don't sound right, because Victoria Monáe definitely should have won. And if y'all don't recognize, when I start my show on Black Conversion, we start with Victoria.
On my mama.
On my hood. Yes.
This whole R&B song, Halle Bailey, Robert Glasper, featuring Sir and Alex Isley, they were all the nominees for that Best R&B song.
Oh, that's crazy. Wait, and Taylor Swift won R&B? No,
she better not have. I know something's up them.
Can we talk about Killer Mike being arrested at the Grammys?
Lord, he got out, though.
He got out, but what happened? Like, they're not even releasing any information. I haven't seen any videos.
They said it was a connection to an altercation that happened nearby.
Girl, he won 3 Grammys. How could you get arrested nearby the Grammys? After he didn't made history, this is crazy, but this is what I'm saying. So you guys, at the beginning of the top of the show, we were talking about, like, we had mentioned some stuff that was happening in Mississippi, and then it brought us to this other situation in Colorado where a black woman just won $1.9 million in a lawsuit against the police because they pulled her over, drew guns on her and her children. Supposedly the car was stolen. And I'm sitting talking to Keenan, and I was like, and Keenan was like, that happened to me. And I was like, that happened to me too. And I just want to point out, all in Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that brings me to, like, how this black man can make history and mm-hmm. have one of the greatest days of his life and then get arrested, right? So
it's just... Get arrested and then released the same night on a $0 bail.
So...
And charged with a misdemeanor. So it's like, was this just a stunt?
Right. Because wanted to take his glory and shrink him and remind him of who he is and where he stands.
Who's the boss?
Who the boss? And that's the thing about systems. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been as a ED of an organization that's unapologetically black and centering black, people often try to put me in my place.
I believe. Look, what? You said they tried to do it with Beyonce too.
What? Right, Beyonce.
Queen Mother.
They sure do. Like, Beyonce was like, I'll be telling these production people what to
like,
do.
Find a way.
And they'd be like, well, we can't. And that's just how they be doing me. And I just be looking at them like, y'all,
like, really?
Or they come for your life. Like, so I'm in a meeting. We have a opportunity. I'm not even going to talk about too much because that's the thing. Like, you can't even say what you need to say because I'm playing politics at the same time. And if black people are honest when you're playing politics, you can't even be authentically you. That's why I just shut up. So I just go home, mind my business, talk crap to the people I trust and love that ain't going to go and just talk sideways about me. But at the end of the day, I be wanting to say all kind of stuff. Like, this stuff be foul and it be smelling like rat poop mixed with some manure and some rural poo-poo mm-hmm. and vomit mm-hmm. and sewage smelling like Monona off Southtown. Ooh, that's what politics in Madison look like. Anyway, you know, time is out for us. I hyped up at the end. And next week I might do better, but we still in the month of February, so we still going to be talking about black history. So I might come hard again. So...
Depends on what the ancestors say.
Right, it is what the ancestors say, but I ain't sorry, okay? But you're tuned in to 92.7 FM, your girl, Brandy and Keena on the Black Conversion Show. You'll catch us the same time, same place next week on WMDX. Peace, love, and hair grease. Like a
we're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium
Just hanging out at the farmer's market.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes!